GNC 497. It's Tuesday, July 28th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, it's late here in Honolulu, but I got a great show for you. No matter when you're listening, day, morning, evening, whenever it may be, strap in, because you know what? Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio, overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Make sure, of course, get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content on the website. Of course, check out our archive podcast as well, available via the podcast link on the website. You want to sign up for our newsletter, because that's where you're going to get all the information about the show. I include all the show notes, or actually all the topics I talk about tonight are included in a newsletter that goes out immediately following the show, so that you have that in your inbox and you can follow along if you're setting in front of your computer, or reference back to that later after you've listened to the show remotely. Hey, of course, we want to welcome all the Ohana to the podcast. Thanks for being part of the family, of course, and thanks for staying subscribed. We encourage you, of course, to tell all your friends about the podcast and let us know if you're actually watching on Ustream right now. And actually, it's pretty late that I'm getting started the show here. Please Twitter and let people know that we're on live at geeknewscentral.com/live. I'd appreciate that. But how did everybody have a good weekend? Was the last weekend a nice one? You know, I kind of got a case of what I call the lazies. You know, in all honesty, as many hours as I put in, every once in a while, you just kind of have to sit back and smell the roses a little bit. So I think I took a half a day on Saturday, most of the day off on Sunday. And although we did record a Sherrycast Sunday afternoon, did that, took care of, got a Sherrycast out. Haven't posted it yet, so I got to get that online. That'll be tonight after I get done with this show. But really, it was pretty lazy weekend around here. And the honey didn't have too many honeydew things, and that was made it nice. So I actually enjoyed it. It refreshed and invigorated and hit the ground running, of course, today. But, you know, really, it's a busy time. Summer's always a busy time with kids doing stuff. Matter of fact, my kids have got 1 week left on their summer break before they go back to school. So we're trying to kind of get them back into school mode here. And I know many of you have kids in school actually coming in a little bit later. Hawaii schools are on kind of like a compressed schedule, or they have a bigger vacation times, but they're getting ready to go back here again next week, and they're not real happy about it. I think mom is, because she'll be able to slow down a little bit. Hey, I want to thank all of you that have went ahead and submitted a iTunes review or even a Zune Marketplace review. I know a number of you have. I'm going to kind of leave that challenge out there for the next couple of shows. And then after we collect, people have been sending emails in saying that they've submitted reviews, and I appreciate that. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you do get over to iTunes and basically search for Geek News Central, and you'll be able to submit a review on the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me know when you do, and your name will go into a pool. We'll have a little prize pool here for those folks that have submitted a review, just as a nice, kind of a nice little way to say thank you. Of course, we're not, you know, say whatever you want. No one's getting disqualified if you slam me or not. That's fine. Hey, I do want to make sure that you check out the free magazine offers at geeknewscentral.com. There's a link there to a lot of tech magazines, a lot of white papers. Some of them require some pre-qualification, so when you go through and fill out the application to get those, make sure you answer all the questions. It's important, because if you don't do all the little steps, they disqualify you for that. But there is some great stuff there to be had if you take, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to go through and answer the questions they have for the specific magazines you apply for. And, of course, the link is, again, on geeknewscentral.com. After the show tonight, those of you that are here on Ustream, you, if you want to hang with me, you can, because I need to record a TPN Weekly. It's my turn in the basket to do one this week, so I'll be doing one directly after this show. It'll be a short little podcast. We'll be talking a little bit about techpodcast.com. So hang out after the show tonight. You can, those of you on Ustream, if you want to hang out that late, you can. Blog World Expo, we continue to march towards October on that. We're going to definitely be looking forward to heading out there. And if you're coming, we'd like to hear from you, of course. And it'll be a worthy investment to come out in October. And if you're a blogger, podcaster, both ways, you'll definitely gain a lot of knowledge by coming out to this event. And, of course, my team will be there in force. Our giveaway thing is still rolling here. And if you're looking to check out some new shows this week, you definitely want to head over to podcastmadness.com. This is our month of July giveaway thing. And by listening to the shows that are on that list, you'll get a promo code from them. And you'll be able to enter that promo code at podcastmadness.com. It'll enter you to win one of the cool prizes. I hear Jeffrey said that he's going to up the ante a little bit. So on the next show, y'all need to listen. If you didn't get the code last time that I was actually, when it was my turn in the hat, I'll be re-announcing my code on the Friday podcast, or when it's released on Friday, Thursday night recording. So tune in, and so you can enter to win on our giveaway over to podcastmadness.com. And actually, I've got a reply to our winner from that. He actually said, "Hey, Todd, you got my information wrong." And I did. I messed the country up and everything. So I'll be replying to him. And hopefully once we get his prize delivered to him, we can get him up on the voicemail call-in line, which we encourage you to use. You can do that at +1. Anyone can call in. If you're outside of the United States, it's, of course, country code number 1, and then with the area code 619-342-7365. We'll have a voicemail at the end of the show for you, and, of course, emails from listeners as well. Fast approaching show number 500. We are at 497. So it's just right around the corner. I'm pretty excited. How about you guys? Are you excited for 500? I actually did a little pre-planning. And I think we're going to have a pretty cool show on a 500 show. Of course, we're going to be giving away some money to one of our needy families here at Geek News Central. And I've gotten a number of entries already. So, again, if you are having a little bit of trouble with this economic downturn and you're part of the Ohana here, send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, 500 show giveaway. And we'll be giving a little cash reward to one of our listeners. I do want to thank, we started to get some donations in via the PayPal account. I want to thank the listeners that did that. We'll go through them at a later point here as we're getting closer to 500. But if you want to make a donation and your cash will be added to the total, podcast@podcastconnect.com is the PayPal account. Information will be in the show notes. Of course, this show and everything we do here would not be possible without our sponsors. And of course, I'm going to get into the tech here in just a second, but let's take care of a little business by thanking our folks that are the primary sponsors, GoDaddy.com. Really, GoDaddy has made it possible for me to do a lot of things, produce a show on a regular basis, be able to keep the quality up, actually live stream this with some cool equipment. Really, they're the ones that have been with us from the very beginning, and they've been a great sponsor and continue to be so. So if you're looking for it to save some money, I hope you support them by going over to GoDaddy.com, picking up a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, and SSL, in other words, a secure socket layer certificate if you may need one for your website. All that information can be found at GoDaddy.com, but the promo codes that you're going to want to use when you check out are found at GeekNewsCentral.com. When you get over to Geek News Central in the show notes, there'll be a link to those GoDaddy promotion codes. TODD will save you 10% on non-domain products. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will save you a bunch of money on .com names. So there's a variety of domain, a variety of promo codes. Please use them. Please encourage people that you know to use them. It really is a thing that helps us out here a great deal. Now, of course, GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting's just been a sponsor of the show just almost as long as GoDaddy, and they deserve as much credit as GoDaddy does as well for staying in the space and advertising. And it's really because all of you continue to check out their product, subscribe to it, and find out how powerful it really is. It's amazing because with a single click of the button, I can have a meeting launched with a bunch of people. No matter where they're at in the world, we can have a little conference. I can do online demos, PowerPoints, live video demonstrations. I can mark up papers. We can work collaboratively on stuff. And we can all do it via our headsets. We don't even have to dial into a telephone line. It's really the easiest and best way to have an online meeting. And you can get a free 30-day demo by going to gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Again, a free 30-day demo by going to gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. I endorse this product. I use it on a daily basis. And be a hero at your work in introducing this product to the boss so that he understands that you're looking out to save him money and you're save yourself money at the same time by, avoiding, keeping the expenses down at the business that you work at. So again, thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, got a lot of content to get into tonight, trying to keep the show down to its normal length. And as someone said in one of the iTunes reviews, quite chit-chatty at the beginning, but the chit-chat portion is over, and we'll go ahead and get into the regular tech content. Those of you on Ustream, hey, welcome to the show. And again, the show is primarily recorded for my audio podcast audience. They listen all times, day or night, because they are subscribed to the show, and they can do that via iTunes or Zune Marketplace or their favorite podcatcher. So they get the media downloaded automatically into their media device and can consume the content at a time they desire, versus for those of you on the East Coast at nearly 3 o'clock in the morning or midnight Pacific time. All right, let's talk a little bit about advertising in movies. And I haven't been to a big screen movie recently, but my kids are bothering me. They want to go see the Harry Potter movie. And some movies are just better seen on the big screen. And there's a couple out that I want to see as well. So I think here in the next week, we're going to be making a couple of trips to the movie theater. But it's being reported that in the Phoenix News Times, at phoenixnewstimes.com, that we're going to start seeing more commercials inside our movies. Now, I already noticed the last time I went that I was getting bombarded with commercials for about 20 minutes prior to the movie starting, which was kind of annoying, seeing you pay to go into this place, and then you get bombarded with ads. And they're saying now we're going to start seeing more subliminal advertising through product placement in movies. Now, we've seen that a lot already. You know, the guy holds up a Coke can, Pepsi can, different types of products. They're using a certain type of razor, whatever it may be. It's all these little product placements, glasses people are wearing, you name it. People see that stuff and they say, wow, those glasses were cool. You'll look at some politicians are out there. They have a certain haircut or a certain way they dress. Next thing you see people doing that, movies, actors. So it's no different. And they're saying that is going to become a bigger portion of revenue for companies that are putting movies out. And there is some concern, of course, that advertising is not really going to be, unless you stick around and watch the credits at the end of the movie, you may not see promotional spot paid for by, because they legally, they have to, basically tell you when they've done that. But don't you think if you're an actor and you have some sort of leeway in what you wear in a movie, wouldn't you wear stuff that you're maybe getting paid for on the side? It's possible, right? Everyone else does it. Sports folks do. You look at the guys on the golf course, they all wear on their Nike hat or their shirt or whatever product they're promoting. So why should it be any different in the movies? I don't think so. All right, let's talk about a leak. In other words, it was a leaked phone call behind, and I don't have never heard of this guy. His name's Dick Ware of EE Store, and he had a phone call with some guy. And the guy, and here's the thing: if I'm having a phone call with somebody, I'm going to know that this person I'm talking to and giving information to is a person that I trust. And if that person would have recorded that conversation and released it to the press, I don't think that person would be my friend anymore. But apparently this guy was having a phone conversation with someone that was on the know, and they're reporting that this company is about ready to come out with some revolutionary products that will allow cars, laptops, all kinds of stuff to be stored, the storage and the electrical storage in them to be recharged very, very quickly, within minutes versus hours. And that they've come up with some pretty cool technology that they may be selling to the Department of Defense, to Lockheed. So we may be on the verge of some electrical storage improvements. If you go over to theeestory.com, there's information over there. There's also some information at cleanbreak.com. And then the site I actually saw it on was treehugger.com. I hate that domain. I really do. But they do have an interesting article from time to time on there. But we'll see what happens with this. And, you know, lots of cool stuff going on that front. I think there's another topic we'll talk about later in the show where there's some rumors about some sort of algae product becoming very efficient in making fuel. So we'll get to that at later in the show. All right, over on torrentfreak.com, top 10 pirated movies on BitTorrent. The top 10 most downloaded movies include a couple of movies I haven't seen. I Love You, Man, The Hangover, Watchmen. Of course, Harry Potter is on that list. Crank High Voltage, Knowing, Terminator Salvation, Duplicity, Land of the Lost, and Transformers 2. So I guess the question I have is, how many of you, if any of you downloaded these actual movies on BitTorrent? Everyone keeps telling me that The Hangover is a movie that you want to go to with a bunch of fellas. I have not seen this movie, but I hear it's absolutely hilarious. And at some point, I'm going to have to see it. They say it's definitely not a movie you take your significant other to with. And I can only imagine it's because, you know, it's probably got a lot of things in there where the guys are looking at each other like, oh, yeah, that happened to me before, but you would never do that with your loved one or admit that. So anyway, this is what's going on in the torrent scene on movies being downloaded right now. All right, over on Wired, pretty cool article on Wired Science about the pictures from the NASA archive. And you guys will get a kick out of this. This is how they were teaching guys to talk in or walk with reduced gravity. This was in 1965. I think this was before the Vomit Comet. That was the aircraft that would do the pushovers, and the guys would get zero gravity for a while. But I think you guys would get a kick out of this particular picture. Basically, they got a guy suspended, hanging sideways, walking against a wall. Oh, I tell you, you got to hand it to NASA. They did everything they could, as ingenuitive as they could, to try to simulate lunar gravity. And, of course, this is a big we've seen all kinds of articles come out after the Apollo 11 anniversary. So I have a few in tonight. I think everyone's probably about Apollo 11 out, so I'll cover them briefly, and you guys can just check them out if you want. But some of these are pretty cool. Hey, you know, from the Dumber and Dumber, every once in a while when I see these articles, even though it's non-tech related, I just have to share it with you. Imagine having a car, having it tricked out to have lights, speakers, you know, all kinds of stuff on to make it look like a cop car. And then when you go out and pretend to be a cop, pull over a cop. Yes, an Oakland resident, a 21-year-old man, actually pulled over a police officer. And obviously he was arrested on the spot. Very, very, very funny. All right, science news. You know, colon cancer is nothing to laugh about at all, and it affects a number of people here in the United States, of course, throughout the world. But there's an article over on Technology Review that talks about a vaccine for colon cancer and some good clinical studies that they've had that have they're made some headway with this. So if you have a loved one that may be having issues with polyps and so forth, you definitely want to have them check this out, because this new vaccine may be the essentially a cure for colon cancer. And this is huge. So I have this link up in the show notes. Lots of promising stuff coming out on the in the science front, that's for sure. All right, over on Ars Technica, they're reporting that all of us are getting so used to security pop-ups and so forth that we kind of become immune and almost ignore them. I know that there's been many times that I'll load a website and say, hey, this SSL certificate is not registered. Do you want to continue to load the page? And I'm like, yeah, I know this site. Go ahead and hit OK. You know, really what we need to do is when those types of warnings pop up, we really need to take a moment, look back up at the browser, make sure that we're in the right location, make sure that we're getting sent to a page that we think we're being that we're supposed to be sent to. If nothing else, close the browser, reload the website, you know, and then click again just to make sure that you're not being sent someplace where you could actually have your machine infected. So, of the top, let's see here. Let me read through this. According to the paper, those who did not understand the expired certificate warnings were more than likely to pay attention to them. A study done in January 2009 found that at least 44% of the 382,000 SSL-enabled websites had certificates that would trigger warnings. I think we've all seen this. And, you know, here's the thing. If you have an SSL certificate on your website, you just make sure that you renew the thing. And then that will keep you safe, keep your users safe. And be careful when you're out there surfing the net, because sometimes an expired SSL certificate could lead you, could actually be a site that's bogus, that's leading you off to the wild blue yonder into a place where you don't want to go. All right, over the weekend, AT&T was accused of purposely blocking the website, I believe, 4chan.net. Now, I have never been over there, but this caused quite the firestorm online. And I actually went over to the website and was just checking it out for the first time. And to be honest with you, I really don't get that website at all. But it appears that AT&T wasn't blocking it because of the content, but AT&T says that there was a denial of service attack coming from 4chan's IPs, which is kind of interesting because most websites run on, you know, dedicated servers, and they, you know, depending on how many servers they have, they'll have a number of IPs. So that tells me, if this was actually the case, that the 4chan server infrastructure was hacked, and that you know, there was a denial of service attack being initiated from them, would not bode well for those of you that have a 4chan account and may have anything private over there that you don't want found by someone else. So, you know, because if they're going to own the servers, they're going to get the good stuff first, and then they're going to make them into bots and do what they want them to, you know, initiate the attacks remotely into those machines. But we'll have to see what happens with this, but AT&T says that the block isn't going to be permanent. As soon as the denial of service attacks go away, they'll, you know, they'll basically unblock 4chan. Over on the BBC, and I think we all probably could have, we could all write this article ourselves, is there is an article about broadband rates not up to speed. And I think we all know that, you know, we get a internet service package from our provider. They say, okay, you're going to get this and this. And usually they say up to this and this. And usually the speeds are rarely as high. But in the UK, nearly one-fifth of UK broadband customers on an 8 megabit per second connection actually receive less than two megabits per second. And the researchers showed that less than 9% of users received more than 6 megabits per second. Going on, the report shows that the average connection speed across the UK is 4.1 megabits per second, up from 3.6 megs in January. So I know I don't get my full speed here that I pay for, and I pay for the absolute top tier I can get from Time Warner here in Hawaii, and it's never fast enough. But they keep promising me someday they'll have a little more speed in my neighborhood, but I'm not holding my breath. Right, I wasn't even really familiar with this until now, but I guess the folks in Europe have been working on a Mars rover. Europe's flagship robotic rover looks like it's going to be pushed out to actually going to launch in 2018 versus 2016. It's called the ExoMars. It's intended to search the red planet for signs of past or present life. You guys hear the little dot going on? What's going on is my Windows Home server is complaining to me about some errors. Let me go ahead and close that, and we won't hear that no more because I have my audio card tied to. So when I play the audio files from the people have called in and left voicemails and so forth, I can just patch it through this machine. I don't have to go to a different PC. But as always, you can always send comments on tonight's show to geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Hey, I got an email from Ursilo. A question in chat. He says, why your show doesn't appear on the Ustream phone iPhone app? I don't know. Why don't you send them an email and ask them why I'm not over there? They never give me no love. They never link to my show or nothing. And at times we get pretty good audiences. And at this time of night, nothing else is going on. So I don't know why they never give us any link love. But obviously we're not on the Ustream app as well. So we'll see. I'll have to check that out myself. All right. Over on another article on the BBC, there's a plan to build a 6,000-kilometer-long wall across the Sahara Desert to stop the spread of the desert. And this is amazing. The barrier, which is going to be formed by solidifying sand dunes, which stretch from Mauritania in the West Africa to Djibouti in the east. And this is put together as a plan to stop the spread of the Sahara Desert. You know, I think the desert is just like oceans. I don't think there's any way you're going to stop them from doing what they want to do. If sea levels rise, you know, there's going to be areas that are going to get flooded. If the deserts want to spread, they're going to spread. I don't think any, you know, this is pretty ambitious. They said the sand would be stabilized by flooding it with bacteria that can set it like concrete in a matter of hours. Oh, this is interesting. So I guess it's pretty serious about them considering doing this and trying to stop the encroachment of the Sahara. But I think that would be a major undertaking, 6,000 kilometers. You know, they can't even close the southern border of the United States, yet they're going to build a 6,000-kilometer-long wall. That's pretty amazing, really is. Okay, maybe two shows ago about here in the United States, attracting smart people to come into the country and maybe changing the immigration policy a little bit to allowing a lot more people come in that have high technical knowledge. It can bring a lot of, bring science skills, math skills, that type of stuff to the United States. But they're saying here that right now, skilled immigrants are actually on their way out, leaving the United States. And because the economy has gone soft, there's been a mass exodus of some of the best and brightest scientists, teachers, and so forth who have lived in the United States for a number of years. One individual who was originally from India was working at the University of Texas at Austin and making up to $100,000 a year. He has decided to leave and actually forego his salary of $100K to earn a salary of $15K living back in the native India. And it's pretty amazing that we're seeing an exodus of these types of skilled immigrants. So, I guess it goes to say, whereas I thought it would be time to relax immigration policy and let more people in, maybe they're just people don't want to be here because the economy is so bad. Time will tell on that. Now, why am I still hearing that pop like that? Don't know. I may have to reach down and unplug that thing. Okay, let's move on into some actual some business news about Microsoft. If you are watching the news, both Microsoft and Amazon reported disappointing earnings after a string of what they're calling optimistic signals from tech companies. Pretty significant impact. As a matter of fact, Microsoft was 17% lower than estimates. And Microsoft net income fell 29% and sales dropped 17% for the quarter ending June 30th. And Amazon as well missed their Wall Street expectations. Their stock took a little bit of a hit on that as well. So here's the question on this. Is Microsoft heyday, is the Microsoft glory days over? Are we going to see Microsoft continue to slide? That was a discussion online this weekend. Of course, the naysayers are out there saying that, Microsoft is pow, stick a fork in them. We'll have to see what happens here over the next couple of quarters. I think Windows 7 is going to be a mainstay. I think a lot of people are going to upgrade to that. I think people will continue to use Office heavily. I know that there's a lot of competing products out there. But what do you think? Do you think that you think Microsoft is essentially past its prime? Do you think that Apple is going to continue to gain possible market share? Do you think Google is going to give them a run for their money? You know, where do you guys think on this? Geeknews@gmail.com, +1-619-342-7365. I think, as you know, personally, I think as big as Microsoft is, I don't think you can count them out by any matter. I think that they, you know, I think that they're big enough that if they need to, they can shed a little weight, and maybe a little bit reduced size would make them more efficient, and you know, they could get innovative again. Maybe time to see, you know, to watch what happens with layoffs at Microsoft and whether or not they try to cut cost and, you know, cut some dead weight over there. Obviously, they need to do something because they need to rebound here. I don't think the stock market will look kindly upon them if they have another bad quarter, especially considering, you know, all the pre-sales of Windows 7 and so forth. So we'll see. I think only time will tell. All right, lots of websites out there that have launched to probably so many that I can't even really name them in an hour show. So many sites have launched to support the Twitter mania. And now companies are getting, you know, basically very protective of their turf. I talked about Tweet Meme on a previous show. That's TweetMeme, Tweet Meme. On a previous show, talked about how I really liked their site and the way that they displayed data. And they're getting ready to introduce a new feature called Retweet. And there's actually a site that's launching called Retweet. And there's been a little bit of pointing fingers from TweetMe over to Retweet saying, hey, you stole some of our code. And Retweet coming back and saying, oh, yeah, we repurposed some stuff that was supposedly open source or is open source. And so there's lots of a little bit of jostling back and forth in this space. And I tell you, it looks like there's, you know, significant money because these guys wouldn't be getting so pissy, you know, such a pissy fit over that if it wasn't. Angelo, my lead director or my programming director at Raw Voice or CIO, him and I were talking about different mobile phones. He's got a G1. He's got an iPhone. Of course, I have an iPhone. I had previous to that, I really didn't have any other smartphone. But we've been talking about, we were basically talking about pre. We're talking about the G1, talking about the upcoming updates to Android, you know, all the different applications for mobile apps. Talking about Nokia in the space and mobile-based Windows Mobile-based phones. And, you know, I think now as I look at the different, as I research what's going on in Windows Mobile, what's going on in iTunes, what's going on with the Pre and the G1, it's obvious that all of those phones, minus the Microsoft Mobile platform, are really moving towards a the App Store type of functionality, more openness. But Microsoft Mobile, you know, for a long time, has been a player for a long time, but they've never had a mobile app store. Well, Microsoft today officially opened its Windows Marketplace for mobile applications to software developers, and they're trying to make a move here to catch up to the success of Apple's iPhone App Store. But I really think that the I think the fate of Microsoft Mobile is not that good. It's just like some of their products, they've stagnated, and they need to make some big moves here to catch up. Those of you that are Windows Mobile, have Windows Mobile on your particular phones, I'd really love to hear from you guys to let me know what you think is going to happen to Windows Mobile and whether or not they're going to be able to compete in this marketplace. Now, as I played with the iPhone more, obviously the ability to have an application running in the background is going to become more important. Because the iPhone today, you know, this is the problem I found with most of the podcasting applications for the iPhone. You open the application up, you queue what you want to have downloaded, it starts downloading it, but as soon as you need to do something else with the phone and you go off the app, it stops downloading it. And Apple, for whatever dumb reasons, have not allowed these applications to run in multiple layers. In other words, they're not being able to multitask. You know, we know that the reason they're doing that is trying to have a great experience for the mobile user. And I know if that you jailbreak an iPhone, you're able to run apps in the background in a separate process, and it works just fine. But the challenge that I said is, Angela, I says, look at this. I said, I opened this app at least 10 times, and it restarted downloading the media that I had at least 10 times. I said, can we go look in the stats database and see what that looks like? And we got the IP from my phone, and we start playing around with it, and we made some interesting discoveries. I think that the folks at Apple need to get a little smarter on letting stuff run as a process. Now, the G1, not a problem. You start something on the G1 and you go do something else, it continues doing and it continues downloading media or whatever it may be in the background. That's, I think, the big advantage, at least from the phone perspective, in the power of the applications, is that, you know, that background process. Now, I don't know about the pre. I don't know what the pre does. Somebody that has a pre can tell me if it allows it to run a background process or not. In other words, you leave the application, keeps doing what it's doing, even though you're off doing something else. So I think this is going to be the Achilles heel. Apple is going to have to figure out at what point that they're going to, because you got all these thousands of apps out there, hundreds of thousands of apps that are not designed to run in the background, except the ones that have been pre-configured to kind of run with a jailbroke phone. So I'm sure once Apple comes out with this, that means all those applications are going to have to be retooled, and it's definitely one of the weaker points of the iPhone. Now, the Windows Mobile app really doesn't kind of have that issue. So maybe from that standpoint, the phone will continue to have legs. I don't know. Love to hear you guys' comments. +1-619-342-7365. geeknews@gmail.com, of course. All right. Apple is really just making all kinds of friends right now. They're working really close with the music industry to start trying to come up to revitalize their industry from the inside out. And really what they're going to be doing is this purported tablet that Apple is going to be launching will be more of a media type of device with a bigger screen where people will be able to enjoy movies, music, and so forth. But they're getting ready to package up when you buy a single off of the iTunes store, you might be able to get additionally with it some background video. You know, they're going to try to plus up you on what you buy when you're buying music online. So this kind of an interesting spin. They're not going to make money on the music. They're going to make money on, you know, the T-shirts, the hats, that stuff. That's where they're going to make their cash. And we'll see what happens with this. But the music industry just seems to be pretty, pretty happy. Now, we've talked on previous shows about the International Space Station. We've all had kind of our own curious questions about how well people sleep, taking a shower, all the other kind of crazy stuff that goes on in the International Space Station as part of day-to-day living that you have to do differently when you are in a no-gravity situation. There's a good article on MSNBC, of all sites, that talk about sleep, but no shower for astronauts. Pretty good article. I have this link up to you in the show notes. You can find all you want to know about sleeping on the International Space Station. All right, an amazing discovery. And this is one that has got me scratching my head a little bit. But some scientists, now this is going to sound kind of gross here. Some scientists have been able to take a mouse, purposely break its back, inject it with common, safe blue food dye, the same type that's put in like cake mixes and that kind of stuff. And the test in those rats and mice have found that acts as some sort of treatment for them, and those mice and rats are able to recover and walk after a spinal cord injury with no issues. Some sort of chemical reactions going on there that's causing the spinal cord to not swell and is actually helping some sort of regenerative. And I'm not going to say regenerative because that's not what they're saying in the article, but it's doing something to helps the spinal cord heal itself. This is big. They say that tests in humans are likely years away. And they say that treatment would have to be immediate because basically once you get hurt, if you don't get this injection, they're doing this right away, cells start dying off, and that this blue dye that they're injecting in mice and rats seems to be an inhibitor for that. So pretty cool stuff here. The only thing is you'll be truly a blue man or woman because the rats that they show in the picture were blue rats. Microsoft is planning an emergency patch Tuesday. Two out-of-band security bulletins will issue tomorrow to fix a critical flaw in Internet Explorer and a related issue in Vista Studio. Microsoft is withholding details until the patches are released, so look forward to having your machines reboot tomorrow because you'll be getting an update. Over on Wired Science at Wired.com, very cool picture. A photographer has captured a stunning photo of the Space Shuttle Endeavour docked with the International Space Station crossing the face of the sun. And I looked at this and I'm like, this was like a 1 in 1,000 shot. This guy was using a standard digital camera with a ordinary telescope. And he had a filter on there, of course, a sun filter on there. But when you see this picture, you're going to be blown away. You really are. So I have the link up to it in the show notes for you to check out. The station's carbon dioxide scrubber is back online. If you heard on the last show, they were having some troubles with it up there. And I actually saw a tweet from one of the NASA folks who basically said, hey, we've had a horrible 6 weeks, but tonight it just got much, much worse. And I went online looking and found that the station's carbon dioxide scrubber had blown a circuit breaker and was offline. And turns out they were able to keep the scrubber running, but they got to have 6 people on each shift sending remote codes to the scrubber to keep it. They're going to basically doing it manually from the ground until they can get it repaired. So it's pretty amazing that they're actually, the hack is going to be involved manual. I don't know why they can't do this in a script, but they're going to be doing a manual process to keep the scrubber online until it can be repaired, which I think is going to happen after the space shuttle undocks today. All right, Verizon, Fios, and DSL customers, you're going to be getting free Wi-Fi across the United States. Verizon is finally offering nationwide Wi-Fi access to its high-speed internet customers. They've teamed up with Boingo, and they haven't revealed how this is actually going to work, but Verizon, DSL, and Fios customers are going to get access nationwide via Boingo. And I don't think I've ever been anywhere where I've seen a Boingo connection. Have you guys? Is that an East Coast thing? I just haven't seen it. Or a company claims potential magnification in biofuel production. And they actually use that, magnification in biofuel production. A company called Joule Biotech claims they have a breakthrough, and this is via Slashdot, in biofuel production. Their process can create 20,000 gallons of fuel per acre per year at a cost of about $50 a barrel. That's huge. If they can come through with this, this is a major breakthrough. It's an algae-based biofuels and with a potential yield of 2,000 to 6,000 gallons per acre. And they're saying that this new process would represent an order of magnitude improvement, whereas the previous cost prior to this announcement, of course they have to prove this, the production cost would have been about $800 a barrel, and they're saying now they can do it for about $50 a barrel. That's huge, and that could transform millions of acres being underutilized to grow algae. I wonder if there's any carbon benefit from algae. Does someone out there that's a science major, if we had millions of acres of algae farms, does algae, do the carbon thing, carbon transfer thing? I don't know. It's probably a very basic a biology question, but that's why I'm a tech geek, not a someone that sits around planes with petri dishes all the time. All right, and don't be offended by that. I'm glad you guys do that if you're one of those people, or in that line of work. Reprogrammed skin cells turned into baby mice, and I was like, huh? According to the Wall Street Journal, two teams of Chinese researchers working separately have reprogrammed mature skin cells of mice to an embryonic-like state, and they're used to create a live mouse offspring. This is, I'm thinking, how did they do this? They reprogram mature skin cells of mice to an embryonic-like state and use the resulting cells to create a live mouse offspring. What happened to the egg and the... Interesting. I'm going to have to read more about this, because this makes me really go, But they're saying if this if they truly were able to do this, it may bring scientists one step closer to creating medically useful stem cell lines for treating human disease without having to resort to using, the controversial laboratory techniques. But it also poses some very interesting ethical challenges. Now, does that mean if they get a scrape of my skin, they can recreate me? They can do a mouse. They can do a person, right? Good article over on Tech Dirt. Is the Associated Press even relevant anymore? Now, the AP, of course, in recent weeks, has been upping the rhetoric on how they are going to be going around shutting down websites or using their content. And they're going to be putting all kinds of tracking code in their articles and doing everything they can to make sure that the people that are licensed to use their content are the ones that are getting credit and not those that are out there pilfering their content. Well, what if I write about an AP article and link to it? And in my own words, can I still have an opinion? We'll have to see what happens with these folks. But, they're even talking about, linking to stuff. I don't get the AP. Is the AP relevant anymore? Love to hear what you think. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail line +1 619 342 7365. All right, a scientist, actually a professor, a music professor. Boy, I messed that one up, didn't I? Anyway, a music professor who was working on a book, I guess his latest book, had to drop an entire section of the book because he wasn't allowed to quote short sentences that are themselves apparently considered works of art without getting permission from the original authors. Now, this is so ridiculous. It's unbelievable. And those of you that are musical geniuses, he was trying to use 7 words out of a musical composition as a reference to a topic he was talking about. And some of that material, some of those lyrics were as much as 50 years old. And he was faced with so many ridiculously licensing requirements that he basically had to scrap an entire chapter of his book. I think it's very interesting here in his comments. He says, the situation absurd. Somebody, under whatever questionable chemical influence, has scrawled 7 words on a piece of paper, and 50 years later, I can't refer to that piece of paper without paying someone some money and following their prescriptions. It's true. Here it is. Someone wrote 7 words on a piece of paper that turned into a piece of, it was in a music, in a music composition, and he can't quote 7 words as fair use in his book without getting a license for that. Ladies and gentlemen, something is seriously wrong with this. Now, when I was writing my book, I had to get permission as well to reprint several things. But I found same type of deal. It becomes such a pain in the butt, really, that all I did was called out certain books and page numbers. I didn't even reference any of the material in them, because to get the information and get it licensed and all that stuff was, or permission to reprint, was too much trouble. And I can understand this. And, you know, some of the stuff I wanted was a little bit bigger, you know, a paragraph or two, not seven words. So we have a real issue in this country now, shaping up very quickly here, where our fair use rights are being taken away. You know, it's truly, truly remarkable. Now, even more remarkable is the following statement from an energy company. Check this out. Now, imagine you've went to the trouble of putting solar panels on your home and probably spent the $30,000, $40,000, or $50,000 to do that. Here's what one energy company is saying about customers who have solar panels. And I quote, "We just don't think it's fair that customers that don't have solar panels on their homes should subsidize these solar panel customers any further." Huh? I'll read this again to you. "We just don't think it's fair that customers that don't have solar panels on their homes should subsidize these solar panel customers any further." And they're proposing Xcel Energy in the Midwest. If this is your energy provider, you need to scream, yeah, holler, call them and complain. But this Midwest utility is saying that they should charge homes with solar panels for not using their service. Yes, that's correct. They want to charge homes that don't use their service. I'm dumbfounded. I am literally dumbfounded. Can you believe that? Is that insanity at its best? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And probably this same customer is probably feeding power back into the grid. Well, why don't I charge Xcel a premium for those kilowatts? This is simply amazing. Now, this should not come as a surprise. New article here. This should not come as a surprise to anyone. Apple is pulling the Google Voice-enabled iPhone apps. Imagine. Google Voice has got a great product. There's some iPhone apps up there. And Apple is saying that they're doing it because those apps duplicate some of the functionality that's in the iPhone. One developer says that it was allegedly duplicating the iPhone's calling and text messaging feature. Once again, Apple owns you if you're writing apps. You have no choice but to deal with whatever they so choose. All right, and the coolness factor, you guys got to see this. Now, around this house, the kids drink milk so fast, I don't have to worry about it going spoiled. You know, it's like she calls me, "Honey, can you pick up 2 gallons on your way home?" I'm like, "Sure, I'll pick up 2 gallons." And a couple of days later, "Are you going to go down to the store? Can you get 2 gallons when you're down at the store? 2 gallons of milk?" My kids drink milk just like the rest of the kids do. But if you get your little ones gone and they're not drinking so much milk, but you have a gallon of milk in the house from time to time, most of us know that milk spoils within about a week, right? Well, Fresh, that's the actual name of the product, Fresh, the shrinking milk jug, has come up with an innovative solution to this problem. Normal milk jugs just trap air inside them, which causes the milk to spoil rapidly. Alternatively, this device called Fresh eliminates this air with its springing frame. It allows the jug to shrink as the milk is consumed. Because of this, the milk stays fresh nearly a week longer. So, pretty cool stuff there. And so this is good for those of you in Europe as well. Helps on, you know, not having to, how you guys get your milk. Some people get their milks in bags. And so just, you know, pour it into the container and this thing will, you know, adjust accordingly. This is a smart one. And I don't know what it cost here. Link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Definitely a smart one for sure. I actually got that article twice. If you are an iPhone owner and you're trying to figure out how to send full resolution images via email, and you're, you know, you do know that when you email a photo, it crunches them down to a smaller size. The 800 by 600 photos that the iPhone sends are not the full resolution. The full resolution is actually 2048 by 1536. Article will be in the show notes on how you can basically bypass that shrinkage factor. All right, over in Gizmodo, rubber band stretch shelf is storage that can kill. This is the absolute coolest storage system I've seen in a long, long time. How many of you have got stuff stacked everywhere? I know that storage space is a premium here, but they've got a new storage shelf that is actually a rubber band. And when you guys see this thing, you're going to be like, oh, that's cool. Link will be in the show notes. All right, here's a question for all of you. You know that I've, when I was out at CES, I interviewed the folks that were coming out with the MiFi. You know, the MiFi is a handy little device that uses Verizon's 3G network to provide a Wi-Fi signal for up to five devices. You can access the web, you can, you know, do everything you can with a normal Wi-Fi device, but you can have more than one product using it at a time. Perfect for those of you that want to have a Wi-Fi device for your maybe two laptops. You only want to pay for one device. It's a really handy thing. Well, a guy was traveling. This is over on GigaOM. Our gal was traveling, and she had her MiFi device out, and one of the, basically a smart traveler said, oh, hey, I see you got a MiFi. Can I piggyback on your MiFi and use your Wi-Fi as well? And she said no, and basically packed her stuff up and moved from him. Now, do you think it's fair? You know, if you see someone with a with some Wi-Fi access have a MiFi, would you be emboldened enough to ask if you should if you could, you know, share their connection or not? So the question she's asking on the website is, was I rude? Should I have allowed the person to use MiFi? You know, it's 5 gig limit per month. You can go through that pretty quick, depending upon, as a matter of fact, we're going to have a story about a Sprint customer that used 10 gig of his available bandwidth and got a hefty bill. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. So do you think she was okay and basically saying no, or would you have shared? And what was the ethical thing to do, I guess? All right, 10 things you didn't know about the Apollo 11 moon landing. And I'm going to go ahead and read just a couple things off here. And then you can go through and read the rest. So I won't have a spoiler here completely for you. Number one, the Apollo Saturn rockets were packed with enough fuel to throw 100-pound shrapnel 3 miles. And NASA couldn't rule out the possibility that they may explode on takeoff. NASA seated its VIP spectators 3.5 miles from the launch pad. Number four on the list, when Apollo 11 lunar lander, the Eagle, separated from the orbiter, the cabin wasn't fully pressurized, resulting in a burst of gas equivalent to popping a champagne cork. It threw the module's landing 4 miles off target. And the one that I like the best, and I'm not going to, I won't read any more after this one, but the Apollo computers had less processing power than a cell phone. And I'm going to have a discussion about a new calculator that I bought over the weekend for my college classes that is simply amazing. All right, I got a link here on inspiredology.com. It's 31 National Geographic photos. Some of these I've seen before. One of these I have as a desktop. Have a link up to it in the show notes on that. Over on webworkerdaily.com, 32 ways to use Facebook for business, and there's some pretty good ones here. Pretty good suggestions. So if you are a Facebook user and you have a business, you'll definitely want to check out 32 ways to use Facebook for a business. These are some good ones here, really are. A live video streaming guide to the best broadcast services to stream your video in real time. Of course, I'm using Ustream here, which quite annoyingly gives a lot of advertising now. It's almost to the point of where you can't actually see my host name half the time because it's popping up so much. But it talks about Ustream, Livestream, Justin TV, which they're coming out with an API that could really change things over there. Stick'em Blog TV, actually, they've released it to everyone. So that's an important thing to know about Justin TV. Watch what's going on over there. Kite, Live Video, Vettel, Yakia, Mick.TV and Glomera. Some of these I'm not even familiar with, but if the Justin TV thing goes the way I think it's going to go, I might go over there. But you know, the thing is about Justin TV, it's got this brand awareness of the original guy that was of Justin that was doing the live streaming. And it's just, if they had customizable domain names for Justin.TV, it might be worthy a look. It really would. But it just sounds, just doesn't sound, in my opinion, professional. It's not a, it is a great brand. I know a lot of you use it, but it just doesn't seem like a professional brand for this show to be streamed on. At least that's kind of the feeling I get. Okay, over on Doc Searle's weblog, he goes, what's 10, see, what is, what's the actual total here? Yeah, what's 10 gigs, 10.2 gigs between ex-friends? He says, so I just got a courtesy call from Sprint, a company I've been talking up for a couple of years because I've had nothing but positive experience with my Sprint EVDO data card. Me as well. Well, that's over. This is Doc Searle's. The call was informed me that I'd gone over the 5 gig monthly usage limit for my data card to the tune of 10.2 gigs, for which I was to be charged, hold on to your hats, $500 on top of my $59.99 plus $1.24 tax monthly charge. Why I went over was simple. I had little or no reliable landline cable internet connected at my house in Santa Barbara for weeks after he got back in June. So after talking to a Sprint representative, they decided to credit him $350 and only charge him $150 overage fee for going over by 10 gigs. Here's the thing about this. Doc Searle's is read by literally tens of thousands of people. And he says in here, he said, I'm not sure how to price the goodwill they've lost. In fact, I'm not sure that has a price. The sad thing is, Doc, Sprint, Verizon, and the good folks at AT&T all have 5 gig limits as well. And what I have found in extensively testing a Verizon EVDO card is the overhead on a Verizon connection is much, much higher than on a Sprint connection. If I use my Sprint card for a day, leave it plugged in, normal usage when I'm away from home, I use about 120 megs. If I use my Verizon card, same type of usage, nothing different, average was about 250 gigs a day. So you think about that, 250 gigs times 5 is 1.25, so you use it 5 days a week. Very easy to come very, very close if you use your card more often than Monday through Friday. And I don't know why Verizon has such a higher overhead. I have a sneaking suspicion it has something to do with their client. So I'd like to try a Verizon card without using your client and see what the bandwidth difference is. Hey, I got an article here by Rob Cifuto. Rob used to be one of our team members at Raw Voice. He moved on to a different job doing some different things. But he's got an article here on lessons for young entrepreneurs. And I feel kind of bad for the individual he's writing about because Daniel, who is referred to here, is who's the gentleman that runs Teens in Tech, has worked real hard to build up a decent audience for his teen podcasters. And there's something here that is it's just too bad because his site got hacked and people were digging around on, you know, seeing how many people were registered and really kind of getting into places they shouldn't have been. And with three advisors, Michael Arrington being one, Robert Scoble being another, Luke Lemur, there were some questions on really was he getting a, did he have a board of advisors that were really giving him advice or not? But link up to this in the show notes. It's a good lesson for everyone in the new media space for sure. But I'm sure Daniel will recover. It's just one of those things that happen with companies. And of course, if you're younger, I would highly recommend you go over and check out Teens in Tech. Okay, let me go ahead and let's get into the voicemail. That's the rest of the regular content I have tonight. We're doing okay on time. I have one voicemail for the audience tonight, then I have a number of emails. I'm getting attacked in here by a moth. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is, but I've got my sliding glass door open with a screen on, yet I seem to have, they have found a way in, which I have not been able to plug. We're going to have this sliding glass door replaced soon. It's got a little bit of an issue anyway. But I really don't know how they're getting in here. But they keep getting, they keep diving on me here. So those of you on Ustream can watch. Okay, here comes the voicemail, then we'll get into the email commentary.
Hey, Todd, this is Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
From Macon, Georgia again.
Hey.
I called before this past Monday night's show, and I asked about the router that I believe it's the Fon router.
Fonera, yeah.
That you actually mentioned the Friday before. I was running about three shows behind as far as listening to them, and I just listened to that show. And thought I'd call in and tell you that I appreciate you mentioning it on that show. And I'm sure you just glossed over my question Monday night.
No, not at all.
And I'll probably be listening to that show tomorrow. So I appreciate it in advance. And thank you very much for all the hard work you do. And all the podcasters on the Tech Podcast, we all really appreciate the hard work that everybody does. Thank you, and you have a good weekend.
Hey, thank you so much for that. Thanks for the call in, and I'm sure you found a little bit of tidbit on the last show. Hey, just remember, those of you that get behind, 72 hours, folks. You really want to listen to the show within 72 hours. I'm kind of curious, for those of you that fall behind, how relevant is the data to you? Because if you watch the news at all, you may get some of the stuff I covered during the podcast. But I guess I'm kind of curious for everyone that listens to the show behind, because I know the majority of the downloads take place within 72 hours. Very few, you know, tapers off dramatically after 96. Although I would say that we probably get 10% of the downloads after 96 hours. Are you getting the stuff automatically and you just, you know, because the show's an hour and 15 minutes, you're behind and you have to parcel it out as you can listen to it? I'd love to hear your feedback on that, because I know sometimes I get voicemails from folks. They're all at least just one show behind, and it's kind of interesting. There's a little phenomenon happens with that, and I see that quite a bit in the email where people are, you know, I'm basically doing tonight's show, but people are actually talking about the show exactly 1 week ago in their emails. So, but again, I hope you get to get one of those and check it out. And thanks for calling in. Again, any of you can call in to +1-619-342-7365. I've got an email here from Trucker Tom. I actually got a couple. And, of course, you want to check out the Trucker Tom podcast as well. He has a great show, and you can check that out at truckertompodcast.com. Anyway, Trucker Tom's passed to me a new taser stun gun, can shock three at a time. Got a pretty cool video on it where they basically are introducing a new taser where a police officer can actually bring down three assailants at once. And I don't know how they regulate who's getting shocked. If you're the first one to get shot with this thing, they show the video, you're in for quite a ride, because I think the juice keeps going to, number two, number three. And I don't know how it alternates or not, but it could turn into, if you're the first guy that gets tased, you're going to be the one screaming, "Don't tase me." But anyway, new taser gun. I have the link to the video on that. All right, Apple targets new player revolution. And this is talking about Apple's possibility, the rumors that they're going to be bringing a portable tablet-sized computer in time for the Christmas shopping season. The device is expected, of course, to be launched against what we were talking about earlier, new content deals, including some aimed at stimulating sales of CD-length music. According to people briefed on the project, the touch-sensitive computer will have a screen that may be up to 10 inches diagonally. It'll connect like the iPod Touch, and it has some of the same functionality as well. So I'll have this link up in the show notes again from Trucker Tom. Appreciate it. Got an email from, I am going to destroy your name, Ursilio. Thank you for your review on iTunes. Appreciate that. Also got a video to a YouTube video. Have you guys heard about the United Airlines guy that had the guy that flew United Airlines who had his Taylor guitar smashed? When you see this video, you're gonna be like, wow. Got an email from Frank on the subject of the USS Normandy. He says, hey, Todd, I know you're once a Navy guy, always a Navy guy. This is the Normandy moving east through the Thimble Shoals Canal towards somewhere in the Atlantic. Yeah, I've known about this. I know that this thing's been on the move for a while. And thanks for the update on this, Frank. I'll actually take a look at the actual link that you've got sent to me via Facebook. Got an email from Jason. He said, hey, Todd, I don't know if you saw this or talked about it already, but this is an article from the National Geographic about a stealth plane Germany was building during World War II, years before the U.S. even come close. The Germans had successfully tested it multiple times before it crashed, and luckily the war was over before they had time to build another one. I think I know about this. This is the plane that basically was replicated after our stealth bomber, I believe. I have not looked at this specific article, but I'll definitely check it out. Maybe it's a different something that's quite different, but Jason, thanks for that. Also got a lengthy email from Jason. It says, hey, Todd, just listening to your previous podcast where you talk about whether Macs are worth it or not. I'm a recent convert to a Mac for my main laptop, and I love it. OS X is great, big fan of iLife, and while I agree they're more expensive than the APC, the gap for a similarly built computer is not that much, but that's another topic that has already been hashed out, smiley face. But I still use Windows and Linux on my other PCs. I just wanted to comment on a product you may want to look into. The EFI-X dong will allow you to take a stock OS X DVD purchased at any Apple store and allow you to install it on a PC without any hacking. Software updating even works, unlike most Hackintosh systems. The EFI-X is a USB dongle that you can boot to that will fully emulate the Apple EFI environment. You do have to buy the EFI-X approved motherboards and parts for it to work perfectly, but you will still be saving quite a bit considering you don't have to be the very expensive Xeon CPU. And the parts that are approved are very easy to come by. On a recent Techzilla video podcast, they went through the details. You may want to look to that as an option. I do agree with you that Apple needs a cheaper version of the Mac Pro. While the Mac Pro is actually priced fairly competitively considering the hardware, Dell workstations with Xeon CPUs are about the same price. I have no idea why they don't have a version without the Xeon processor. If they built a version with a normal desktop Core 2 Duo or i7 chip, that would drop the price dramatically. Well, they have got, some Macs out there that are not, they're considered a desktop, but they're their stand mount version that's all contained in one thing. I think, that's their sweet spot as far as selling devices to moms and so forth. So I don't know if they're ever going to come out with a Mac Pro alternative, but very cool information on the EFI-X. Got an email from... Oh, this is still loading. How come it's so loading slow? I think it's got an audio file attached to it. So let me look at the time here. How are we doing on time? It's almost done. I should have preloaded this. I apologize. Hey, Todd, I too remember the Cold War days, and I'm glad I live in a free country. Here are some quick audio comments for you. Let me play these, and we'll go ahead and open this. Will this play?
Hey, Todd, I just wanted to shoot you a quick voicemail.
Sure.
I'm in the middle of listening to Geek News Central number 401. Congratulations on your 400th episode, by the way.
401?
But you were talking about you wanted to take a quick poll of wanted to know if anyone had a twinge of the Cold War days after seeing what's going on in Russia and in Georgia. And, when that first happened, I thought, oh, that's exactly what I thought. Here we go again. As if we haven't got enough problems all over the world, now we have to worry about the Russians again. In fact, I remember, showing my age here, I remember hiding under my elementary school desk when I used to live in Texas in the 70s, having bomb drills just in case the Russians decided to bomb us back in... This is like 74, 75 or something like that. I remember that very clearly. And, of course, now I'm worried that my children are going to have to go through the same bombing drills with, you know, how the Middle East is becoming a huge wasp's nest. And so when I heard about what's going on in Georgia, I thought, oh, no, here we go again. But, you know, also we've got that to worry about as well as the crazies in the Middle East. So, I definitely felt the same irritating neck twitch of reminiscent of the Cold War. Anyway, Todd, great show. My name is Todd, also Rare Todd, raretodd.com, if anyone's interested in listening to a podcast about depression and metal. All right, Todd, have a good one. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hey, 401, dude, you're like 96 episodes behind. That's like a whole year. Wow. I think that is I was looking at the email, making sure that it actually came in 2009. thanks for the comments, but catch up to the show, dude. Or if you're listening in succession, you won't hear these comments for a year, but we're on next show before 98. Thanks for the feedback regardless. That takes us back a while, doesn't it? All right, I got an email from Timothy. Say, hey, Todd, this is Tim from Northern Arizona. I've been listening to your show now for a few months and find it enjoyable and enlightening. Having heard you recently purchase an iPhone, I want to thank you and the millions of other U.S. iPhone users. It is the sale of the iPhone that has forced AT&T to upgrade its network in many smaller markets like the one I live in. We were finally able to shed our Edge network for 3G when the iPhone 3G was introduced. While many complain of the AT&T network, I have found it to be quite robust. I have an unlocked Nokia N95-3 on the AT&T network with a $15 unlimited 5-gig data plan. I subscribe to numerous podcasts. I have the N95 set up to search for podcast updates and download them every night at 1 o'clock in the morning. I use between 1.5 and 2 gigs of data a month, which I think is a good value for the money. Also, you mentioned that many wish the iPhone would be available on the Verizon network. If I may comment this, in my opinion, there are two reasons why this will not likely never happen. One is Verizon. While they have great network coverage, they are by far the worst when it comes to bloatware, crippling, and controlling the customer experience. The second reason is why Verizon is CDMA as well. It's a GSM world. Apple is not going to build a CDMA variant for one market. We may be surprised. Before I sign off, I'd like to say again, I enjoy your show very much. I wanted to thank you for your service to your country. My son is serving in his third enlistment in the U.S. Marine Corps. Semper Fi there, Tim. And thanks for your comments and as well for you, Tim. Have a great day. I don't know. They've already talked about Verizon doing some tests on some new network protocols, doing LTE. So we will see what happens here. But I'm not counting, Apple is going to control the desktop for the iPhone. There's no, you don't see AT&T stuff on there. Any deal done with Verizon, the iPhone experience will stay the same. Apple's not going to budge to that. They won't. And those days are over for cell phones and their applications, especially when it comes to anyone that, wants to be competitive. I did get an email from Jeffrey. He says, hey, Todd, how are you? This is Jeff Sass from Mixer, longtime listener from before your book. I gave you the GNC ringtone. Yep, you sure did. And you interviewed me about Mixer at CES twice, I believe. Anyway, in a recent GNC, you asked for feedback on the Palm Pre, so I'm sending you links to two articles I've written about the Pre. The net is that I love it, but really want more apps. I've owned every Palm OS Trio from the original Handspring product, but gave up my Trio 755P in favor of a HTC Pro Windows Mobile because the Palm OS simply wasn't keeping up the times. I'm happy to report that from a mobile OS point of view, the new Palm Web OS really shines. The Pre is an impressive device. Here are the two articles. Also, for old time's sake, here is the link to the GNC ringtone. I'll have that linked up in the show notes as well. Thanks again for your continued work on GNC and podcasting in general. Enjoy your summer. Best regards, Jeff. And you guys can check Jeff out at Mixer, MYKER, I think. Oh boy, I hope I didn't spell it wrong. Yeah, MYKER, MYXER. I apologize. I got the sign back behind me. Okay, last couple of emails. I think we have got everything. Yeah, I've got, thanks, Terrence, for your review. Sarah, do I have time for this? I don't. Terrence, I'm going to get your email off in the next show, and I think JR as well. Everyone, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. I definitely appreciate it. We went a little long here. Obviously, lots of email coming into the show. Thanks for everybody hanging with me. And as always, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotlines, +1-619-342-7365. We'll be back with you Thursday on Ustream. For those of you that listen to the podcast on Friday, whether it be morning, night, or evening, morning, afternoon, or evening. Thanks for staying subscribed and sharing the love. And thanks you for supporting the sponsors, of course. And as always, it's been great to bring the podcast to you. We'll see you on Friday. Everyone take care and aloha.